need that disclaimer today. I mean, you can't help but know we're 3 days away from probably the most historic election of our lifetimes. I remember when Reagan was elected. That was cool. But, you know, listen to music. If you have been outdoors here lately, and with a day like today, how could you not get outside on a Saturday? There's a whole nother world of music out there. Not what you hear from your phone and your, you know, CD player and all that. I was sitting out on the deck last night at the farm. Got there too late to really go climb a tree and sit in there. And dusk, the sun was just about all the way down. I mean, the sun was down behind the trees. It was almost dark. And there were some deer in the field and had quail whistling in the woods. I mean, it was just, and I thought about that song. That's why I chose it for this show. Listen to the music. Because when you're outdoors, there's always music. Whether you're on a river, trout fishing, whether you're down on the coast, anywhere in between. It's just close your eyes and listen. That's all I got to say. And now on to the other stuff that's out there. Yeah, I guess, first of all, you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. In Greenville, and 94.5 WGTK, The Answer. Thank you for tuning in. It's going to be a busy show. We're going to talk to Rod Goodall with Riley's Catch and Life of Impact happening at Camp Thunderbird 2 weeks from yesterday and all they've got going on. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Brian Grossman from the Quality Deer Management Association. You know, this time of the year, of course, deer season is wide open. The rut's going on. There's a lot of people taking a lot of pictures, and Brian wrote an article, How to Ruin a Good Picture, and instead of how to ruin a good picture, we're going to try to teach you how to take a better picture. And he couldn't make it today. He's actually out hunting with his daughter, so I talked to him earlier this week, and it's it's fairly basic, but it's just some good things you don't necessarily think about all the time in the heat of the moment, which is another good song, Asia. So anyway, it's going to be a good show. But like I said, you can't ignore the timing of today and what's coming up Tuesday. And I struggle myself with this. Principles. We've all got them. And there are times to make a stand based on your principle. There are times when, I don't know, you don't put them aside, but you look at the bigger picture, I guess. And I'm not going to be very political. I'm just going to give you one example. And as outdoorsmen or gun owners or whatever, it's probably the most important vote you'll ever cast. Supreme Court. Okay. Those appointments are for life. If the court gets stacked one way or the other, then those rights are gone for generations or can be whittled down over generations. And I'm specifically talking about the Second Amendment. And really, if you don't have the Second Amendment, the others don't last very long. Because how do you, you know, if you look at countries around the world and world wars have started by disarming the people. You can do what you want to if they've got no recourse against you. What are you going to do? Vote them out? Yeah, we tried that. And that's all I'm going to say. You know, the Second Amendment is this election is a referendum on the Second Amendment as far as I'm concerned, because everything that happens over the next 4 years could either strengthen that or weaken it. And I fear if it weakens, then it's just the start and you're never going to recover. And I'm not saying they're coming for your guns tomorrow or Wednesday. They can't do it that. But it's once you start the slide, it's going to be very hard to stop it. And where does it end? Okay. Done for politics. I guess I was talking to some guys the other day. I said, okay, Wednesday morning we'll wake up or we're going to be curled up in the fetal position, sucking our thumbs. But participate. I guess above all, participate. It's a right and informed participation is what we're after. You know what you're voting for or against and then vote. Even if you're voting third party, look. Participate. It's a right. Teddy Roosevelt said it's only as good as the information behind the vote. But, you know what they say about rights. If you don't use them, you lose them. Second thing, and I today, and I was coming back this morning and had to stop and pull up a Facebook page, and something that really just eats me up. Of course, you know, I'm a hunter. I have hunted my whole entire life. It is, it's something I have defended to many people. I've enjoyed hunting with many people. Hunting is a club, so to speak. I mean, it's, you automatically have things in common with other people. But there's always an element, you know, just like there's all one rotten apple can ruin the whole bunch. And anyway, coming down to it, somebody shot a deer last night along Highway 101. And I'm taking this at face value because this was posted and several people confirmed that it had been shot. To the slime ball that did it, you know, if you're going to break the law and shoot something at night and you're not going to take the meat, there's a soup kitchen in Greer that would love to have that. But shooting a deer and leaving it on the side of the road and cutting the antlers off is, you know, this is when you wish you were back in the Indian era and somebody could come scalp you. You know, I just, we don't need that. And I, my wife jumped on me because I said it's the parents' fault for not teaching respect. And I understand what she's saying. She goes, there's only so far you can shepherd kids. But you know, hunting is a privilege, I believe. I mean, it's a right, but I think it's a privilege in today's world because there's enough people out there. If you swing them the wrong way, they could outlaw it in a heartbeat. But there's a total lack of respect. And I mean, when you have no respect for an animal, you don't have respect for pretty much anything in your life, I don't think. And it's just, it gets under my skin. I cannot, that's just something I can't tolerate. Let me tell you how it would have been in my family. Let's run the scenario in my family. Okay. I was out with some buddies, maybe, you know, spotlighting deer. Which at first I've never done because I fear for my life if my parents found out I was doing that. The game warden would have been the last thing on my mind. But you shoot something like that, you cut the antlers off. Okay, what do you gotta lie about the story, I guess. To any other hunter, you gotta make up a story about how you took it out of a tree stand or whatever the situation, you got to make up a story and then you got to remember the story you make. And what a hollow story to begin with. You got to remember the story because you lied about the story. So next time you tell it, you got to make sure you remember the thing you lied about the last time about the story you told about how you shot the deer. If you're just, you know, amongst your buddies and all that, and they're like you, then I don't guess it matters. But I'd have come home with a set of antlers and proceeded to tell a story. My mom would have looked at me and said, "You're lying." And I go, "No, I'm not." And she goes, "Yes, you are." She goes, "I know you. You're lying." And that's the truth because my mom knows me. And I think that's where some parents fall short in some of this stuff is they don't know their kids. Then it had been a toss up about, you know, how long I would have lived after that. I'm sure that I would have never, ever used another gun while I was living at home. There's no reason for it. There's no sense of it. And I tell you, you know, there is an Operation Game Thief number in South Carolina. You can get it off the Department of Natural Resources. And I don't like tattletales and stuff like that. But that number's there for a reason. And if you know somebody that's walking around with a set of antlers today that doesn't have a good story behind it, yeah, I'll leave that up to you. Anyway, upbeat the next start of the show. Hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side with Rod Goodall and Riley Sketch. It's a double shot of the Doobie Brothers Day. Gotta love it. This is not good. This is not good at all. Charleston Southern just lost to Gardner-Webb University. Oh, my goodness. When I go home, it is not going to be good. But we've got better things to talk about. And he has become a good friend of mine. He has a heart for kids, high school kids, and just an all-around great guy. Rod, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, Roger. Thanks so much. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it is. And, boy, I tell you, it cannot be another year before we go back to the front porch and eat again.
I know. Let's go tomorrow.
I was just over there today.
Oh, man.
No, I was at the farm. I didn't get over the front porch. But, boy, I tell you, if you're in South Carolina and you're traveling I-77, you need to stop at Richburg and eat at the front porch. Or, Rod, next time we probably need to go the other way and go to the wagon wheel.
Okay, I'm up for that, too. But I got to tell you, the front porch could be one of my all-time favorites.
It's some good food.
It is.
Wow. And you know, there are a lot of good friendships made over good food, isn't it?
Right on. There's nothing like breaking bread together, and it's really great.
That's
and
right.
Front porch has incredible atmosphere, but just amazing food, and it's a great place to build friendships. You're right. Yeah. So it's kind of been a fun place for us to connect.
It has been. Rod, if you don't know Rod's relationship here with Woods and Water, South Carolina, Rod is founder of Riley's Catch, which is a high school fishing tournament after a young man who died in a car accident. And he's moved from up north to down south and brought it with him. And for the last couple of years, they've had a great event over at Camp Thunderbird on Lake Wild, and that's Life of Impact Weekend. It's coming up soon. What all you got going on that weekend?
Yeah, it's coming. It's right around the corner. So November 18th, 19th, and 20th. So Friday night, we have a couple of our good YouTube friends coming in. AP Bass and Alex Perrick and Fish in the Midwest, John B. They're going to be there, kind of share their story and some of the fun that adventures they've been on over the last year on YouTube. And a lot of kids really follow those guys. And so that'll be fun Friday night. All our fishermen will be in at Camp Thunderbird, so we'll be having a big time then. And then Saturday morning, launch out for a really fun tournament that will include, you know, some college anglers from across the Southeast volunteering to help some of these students in their very first bass fishing tournament. I've actually got one of our anglers, Tanner, with me right now. We're actually out on Lake Wiley doing a little fishing. So we're calling you from the mobile office. It couldn't be a better place.
Now, I need to go back and check the Riley's Catch rule book to make sure that you're not fishing in off-limits waters here now.
Yeah, we're good. We're really good. But so Saturday, everybody gets to fish, get out on the water. It's an official BASS South Carolina and North Carolina points tournament.
Oh, wow.
And then there'll be a really great competitive atmosphere. And then, like I said, there'll be a number of students that this is the first time they've ever fished in a competitive tournament. And we've had kids come to this.
Yeah.
Get to experience bass fishing at a tournament level. Go back to their schools and say, I want to start a club now.
That's great.
And really find their passion. Because, we talk so much about this just you don't have to be 6'2", run the 440.
Nope.
And it's a great way to just get outside, fishing, archery, all those things that we love. There's so many kids that's their passion, and it's so neat. If I had a dollar for every boat captain that told me, I wish they had this when I was in high school. I tell you, it's just the greatest thing. I don't know anything better than to honor Riley with this tournament. So really, that'll conclude Saturday evening.
Okay.
And then Sunday, we have a special tournament that's the Battle of the Border. We've got collegiate anglers from both North and South Carolina, from those universities, University of South Carolina, ECU, Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, Charlotte, just probably 7 or 8 different universities that'll come and compete on Sunday. And it's kind of our way to honor them. They'll compete in the Battle of the Border. And they'll also compete against some Elite Series pros. Ooh. So Britt Myers, who's been a good friend of ours. They'll get to go up against some of the best of the best, you know. And you know how that goes. And
oh, yeah.
Some real good bragging rights and those kind of things. But, you know, we couldn't do this kind of stuff without friends like you and you know, our sponsors at Scott Clark Toyota and Clifton Larson Allen and the YMCA. It's just a real, real great group of individuals, and Adam down here at Hunt Fish Paddle. I mean, they just come together and help us make this thing happen. And it's an incredible industry. It really is. All the folks involved in the outdoors. And I still remember the first time we met you at the FLW Cup there in Columbia.
Yep.
And those boys were so excited to be on on the main floor for the weigh-in.
Oh yeah,
you know. We still talk about that.
Hey, too. That was my first official big weigh-in. I was just, you know, staring at the stars myself, so I know exactly what they were feeling.
Oh my goodness!
But you got that weekend it's a lot of fishing. But I mean, you're gonna have more stuff going on than just the fishing.
That's right. So just to add, you know, make it even better, one of the cool things we've really trying to do with Riley's Catch is invest in the future leadership, you know, with these teenagers and really give them a voice. So we work really hard to bring in business leaders throughout the Charlotte area to come and speak to students and really speak into their lives about opportunities. I mean, so many kids are, you know, they're into these outdoor sports or into some of these kind of things. And we just want to give them the opportunity also to see what are some of the options along those lines, because there's so much more than just professional fishing.
Right.
And there's so many industries that support the outdoors, if it's through the sciences and biology or technology, companies like Lowrance and Navico and all those types of places, and or if it's marketing or sales. There's a number of on-ramps for students to have a really cool career in the outdoors industry that helps them really pursue their passion. So that's a big part of it, is to really speak into their lives through leadership development, through some other really great industry leaders, peers, and then also just really, really give them the opportunity to, you know, grow and leave the weekend and say, hey, wow, that was cool.
Yep.
I want to come back, but I've learned some things I can apply to my daily life now.
Right.
That makes me better. And so that's the goal of the whole weekend. It's not just about fishing. I mean, fishing's kind of, I say fishing's the hook.
Sure.
You know,
get
the kids that are excited. And you've got to bring relevant people in that they're excited about. So that's what's fun about some of the professional anglers and the YouTube guys. Those are the guys these kids really want to see, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun.
And you have a lot of fun doing it, I can tell. You really do.
Yeah, well, I think the really the cool part of that is you build so many neat relationships in the industry. And like we sat down and then you just unveiled a super cool event coming up in January that I'm excited about. So, I mean, that's exactly why I get really pumped about it, because we'll bring our whole team there.
Sure.
We're already talking about it.
Come on.
I think that's going to be a really super event. And it takes an army, you know, takes an army. And
it does.
It's a tight-knit industry, so it's great to build those friendships and then help each other where we can, you know.
And at the same time, I mean, we need to expose – I mean, Riley's Catch needs to have a presence over there in Henderson. So when you come and bring your kids, you bring banners and brochures and all. And
hey.
Because it goes both ways, Rod. It really does. You know?
Yeah. Well, if you're really wanting us to come, we have we've just got our trailer wrapped.
Yeah.
So within that trailer, we have an archery kit that runs the National Archery School, National Archery in the Schools program. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff we could bring along the way to create some fun and energy and excitement, you know, during that event. So we'd love to help out any way possible. You say the word and we'll bring whatever we have at our disposal. We're willing to roll in there with it. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that. Well, I'm planning to be there this year. Last year, the hurricane made you change your plans. And the rain,
yeah.
I'm sorry, the monsoon we had. But I'm planning on being there, and I tell you, I don't know that you can call us ringers, but I might have a boat to fish in Sunday.
Hey, come on now.
I have in the last 20 years, I have one tournament under my belt. So, you know, I'm just, I'm the ringer that you just don't want to see enter your tournament, but I'm for sure going to be there around. I'm for sure going to be around for some of the other stuff too. Because I've been meaning to come and just haven't been able to hook up, but I'm coming this year. Looking forward to it. And like I said, might have a boat, might wet a line there a couple of days with you.
Well, we would love to have you participate in that for sure. I think Sunday is going to be a real super, super opportunity to get out and do that. And definitely want to, the two boys that are coming, the YouTube guys, Alex and John, they're actually the first two boys I'd ever taken out in a high school tournament in Illinois. So it's kind of a special, it's going to be a special weekend to get right back together and it just kind of laugh and have fun. So, man, we're super excited that you're going to be here. And yeah, we'll be bringing it.
Okay. All right. Well, look, leave a few fish in there, at least one measurable fish for me, if you would. And if you're listening, it's Rod Goodall, lifeofimpact.com. Find out more information. If you want, you can look at registration and it might have some spots left open for you.
Yeah. You know, the tournament site is rileyscup.com.
Okay.
So if you're a fisherman and you want to fish, it's rileyscup.com. And then the Life of Impact is lifeofimpact.com.
Yep.
And, yeah, so they'll be closing down those registrations sometime early next week. So if you're interested, get on there right away. And you can look us up on Facebook for Riley's Catch, or just go to the Riley's Catch website and link back to both those also.
Good enough, Rod. I'll see you soon, bud. Take care.
All righty. Thanks so much, Roger.
Yep. Be back on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Fall is here. Deer season's in full swing all across the United States. I ran across an article that I think is just pertinent to this time of the year. Ways to ruin a great hunting photo. I'm a photog hack. I take thousands of pictures and once in a while I get a good one. But reading this article, I look back on some of the pictures I'd taken deer hunting and all, and I said, gosh, look at that background, or you should have done this. So read this article. I said, I'm just going to reach out and make a phone call. So I got a hold of Brian Grossman, the author of the article in the QDMA magazine. Brian, thank you for taking time to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thanks, Roger. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Well, take just a moment. I like to do this for every guest that comes on the show. Introduce yourself, what you do at QDMA, and maybe just a minute about what Quality Deer Management Association is all about.
Okay. Yeah, great. Well, I'm the communications manager for the Quality Deer Management Association. And basically what that entails is I handle most of our social media.
Okay.
We're very active on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I handle most of our website content as well. We have a lot of articles, over 300 articles on our website, and which is, you know, where you came across the one we're talking about here today.
Right.
And then I also assist with writing and editing and laying out our magazine, Quality Whitetails. So that's kind of what my job entails with QDMA.
Do you ever get time to hunt it with all those duties to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely, we make sure we carve out some time to hunt, because, you know, most of the people involved with QDMA, obviously, we're there as a nonprofit. We're there because that's our passion.
Right.
And so, yeah, we certainly make sure we carve out some time to get out in the woods.
And, you know, before we get on this article, you were just at the National Youth Hunt that QDMA sponsors every year. A minute about that. Is that first time youth hunters that y'all take to a very special place, or how does that work?
Yeah, it typically is. It's our National Youth Hunt put on once a year in South Georgia, and we choose 10 kids. We have kids nominated from across the country by our QDMA members, and we go through a selection process where we'll choose 10 of those kids. We bring them in, outfit them with lots of gear, just provide them a tremendous opportunity.
Right.
They receive shooting instruction from the Army's marksmanship unit, so So some of the top shooters in the country are teaching these kids how to shoot. We're teaching them about all aspects of deer hunting and processing their deer. And, of course, all the safety issues that, sure. that go along with hunting. And then we take them out and let them hunt. And it's typically a successful, pretty successful hunt. We had 10 hunters and ended up harvesting 10 deer, 2 wild hogs, and a coyote. So,
wow.
So they had a great hunt this year.
that's a really good hunt, especially yeah. first deer hunt out. That's great. And commendable.
Yeah, and you did ask. Most of these are, as part of the selection process, we do want to focus on kids
right.
that have typically never had the opportunity to hunt and, you know, maybe in a situation where they otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to hunt. So that's who we focus on, you know, getting involved.
And I'm sure they get a big dose of conservation at the same time.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, look, I ran across this article. It's reading through it. I look back at some of my own pictures, and I think, could have done this a little different. Boy, that point right there, yeah. The first point you make in this article is something I see all the time, and I know why it happens, because, you know, wow, you get down on the stand, you go to the deer, and you put that gun down on the deer, and you stand behind the deer, and you didn't keep it safe. That's the title of the first one, because that gun is pointed right at you. Take just a second and run through that first point.
Okay, yeah. This is one that I guess in the past, I typically hadn't noticed all that much until I came to work for QDMA.
Right.
I hadn't paid a whole lot of attention to that. But, you know, as part of my job with QDMA, I get to work with and look at a lot of pictures, especially dealing with social media. We have a lot of people send pictures into it.
Right.
And a lot of these, of course, are youth and oftentimes with their first deer. And, yeah, nothing is worse than getting in an otherwise great picture. Mm. You know, you have a kid with his first deer, big smile, so much excitement, and you look and his rifle's pointed right at him. And, you know, unfortunately, we just can't use that. We
right.
can't, you know, promote unsafe practices, and of course, that's, you know, violating pretty much the cardinal sin of,
right.
of gun safety.
Yes.
So always keep that muzzle pointed in a safe direction. So
and you see,
go ahead.
And you understand why it happens. I mean, it's exciting
oh, yeah.
time,
yeah.
and you're not specifically focusing on the safety issue. The gun's probably unloaded, you know, or has a dead round in the chamber or something, but you understand how it happens, but you see it a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it is, like you said, there's a lot of excitement, in that time, you know, you're getting the kid back there behind the deer, you're congratulating them, you're setting the picture up and you just prop the gun up against the deer, not even, you know, paying attention to the fact that it's pointed at the hunter or maybe pointed at someone, you know, next to the hunter. And it's an honest mistake, but it's just one we have to, you know, we have to recognize and try to avoid when we're setting up a hunting photo.
You know, it's hunting is not a catch and release sport, like fishing is or can be. And, you know, the act of shooting a deer or whatever, getting that picture to be tasteful is something a lot of people don't think about either. And that's the second point you write about in this. Take a few moments. How do you clean up a picture and make it, you know, not, I know between hunting buddies, it doesn't make a hill of beans difference, but to friends or non-hunters or people who are kind of in that segment of society that like hunting because they realize it's a conservation tool, you eat what you shoot and all that. What are some of the things you need to do to get that picture more acceptable to society?
Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, why I included this point in the article. You know, amongst hunting buddies, we all know what we're doing out there as far as hunting. We're taking the life of an animal. We know that blood is involved and blood is spilled. But, you know, especially with social media today, you put that picture out there and thousands, even millions of people can see it in a short amount of time. And a lot of those people are not hunters. And you know, over 90% of those people, or the population in general, are not hunters. And we depend, or we rely on those, that portion of people that, you know, that are not hunters, but they still support hunting. You know, we depend on that for the future of our sport. We have to have their support. So yeah, we want to keep our photos tasteful for those that'll be seeing it. That, you know, like you said, they it's not that they don't support hunting, but they're not hunters themselves. They don't want to see a bloody photograph of a deer on their Facebook feed. So yeah, we just need to take a few minutes before we take the picture to just clean the deer up a little. If its face is bloody, or the impact area of the deer is overly bloody, you know, take a paper towel or a rag, wipe it down a little bit. I even learned a trick over the weekend.
Okay.
Just rubbing some dirt on those bloody areas.
Mm-hmm.
Does a good job of covering it up. You know, put the tongue back in the deer's mouth, and just, you know, take a respectful photograph with the deer. Like I said, try to clean up the blood. You know, don't sit on the deer's back, or pose it in some way that, you know, is disrespectful.
Yeah.
To this animal.
And you know, this time of the year, there's tons of leaves in the woods. You know, you could always use a leaf.
Yep, exactly.
The next one I love. Tell us the next point, and it's one that that I look back on some of my pictures and think, boy, you could have done this a whole lot differently.
Yeah, I'm the same way. The next point was you didn't keep the photo natural, and I wrote it for exactly the same reason you're saying there. I look back at a lot of my old hunting photos, and, you know, the deer's in the bed of my truck all bloodied up, or it's in the floor of my parents' garage, you know, where I'm getting ready to process the thing. I just didn't take the time to get a good field photo, and I certainly, you know, regret that now. So again, going back to, I know when, you know, when you harvest the deer, the excitement's there. You're kind of getting a rush to, you know, get it dressed and get it out of the woods, especially if it's, I always seem to kill mine, you know, last light in the evening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you know, you want to get the deer home and get it processed before it gets too late. But it's just a matter of, again, taking a few minutes, like you did to clean the deer up, and just get a good shot, some good shots in a natural setting there where you killed the deer. If you can't do that, at least when you get it back home, try to get it out in the yard or somewhere with kind of a natural backdrop.
Right.
And take a few minutes to get some good pictures.
You know, I look back.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, you'll definitely be glad you did in the long run when you look back on those photos.
Yeah, the first buck I ever killed was a little 5-point. I think I was, 16 or 17, because we didn't have a lot of deer in South Carolina, you know, up to the late 70s because the restocking efforts here in the upstate. And I have two pictures of that deer. And part of it's, you know, back in that time, cameras weren't everywhere. You know, everybody didn't have a smartphone walking around where you could take HD video and, you know, the good pictures and all. But it's in the bed of my neighbor's truck, and I'm kind of holding it with one hand, holding my gun. He's kind of leaning over the truck, and I love that he's in it. But I'm thinking, wow, that first buck, you know? What I could have done with those pictures, instead I've got, you know, this picture, which means a lot, but it could have been so much more.
Oh yeah. Yep.
My
first buck picture, I'm posed next to a 1983 Mercury Cougar with the trunk open because that's what I brought the deer home. a lot of regrets on some of those early hunting photos.
Oh man, you know, it's, I'm in a red and white flannel shirt and tiger stripe camo. I mean, I just thought, I look at that picture going, but you know, I didn't know any better. And that's the whole reason you write this article. So people hear this, can do it better than we did it, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned lighting. Talk to us a minute about lighting.
Yeah, this was really the only kind of technical aspect of taking a photo that I touched on, because, well, really, it's the most important. You see a lot of people, you know, a lot of photographs of deer are taken after dark.
Right.
And a lot of times they'll end up being poorly lit. Or you'll see, you know, daytime pictures where maybe the background's kind of bleached out because the sun was right in the background of the photo, or it's the sun's on the other side and it's throwing a shadow. You can't even see the hunter's face because of their cap. So
right.
Yeah, I did touch on just trying to get that lighting right. And a lot of times that's just, especially at night, it's getting as close to that person as you can with the camera. You're always better off to, instead of rather using the zoom on your camera, you know, use your legs as your zoom. Get as close
right.
to the subject as you can. That way, if you're using a flash, you know, it'll light up the subject better. Even during the day, you know, just try to position the person. Look at what the sun's doing to your photo. You know, is it casting harsh shadows? You might need to turn the hunter and the deer a different direction. You might even want to use your flash during the day. A lot of times that can help, you know, fill in some of those shadows if their cap or whatever is throwing a shadow on their face. Turn the flash on and see if that, you know, doesn't help at least somewhat with those shadows.
Yeah, you know, it's for those of us who have a face made for radio, you know, the shadows from the cap's not a bad thing sometimes. but, yeah, you see that in pictures, too. And the last one is, I mean, especially if you have a young hunter, maybe first, second, nicest, you know, largest deer, or maybe one that's just special to the two of you or whatever. And I love it. Take it, end it, because this is a great way to end this article.
Yeah, you did. The last point I touched on was, you know, you didn't take enough pictures. And I've been guilty of this many times myself, but, you know, there's really no excuse anymore. When I first started killing deer myself and getting pictures, you know, just like we talked about, it was the old film cameras, take a few pictures and hope for the best, you know, take them in to get them developed. And if they didn't turn out well, you know, there was no going back.
Right.
But today it's so easy with, you know, everybody having good, I mean, the quality of our cell phone cameras is so much better than even, you know, digital cameras of just a few years ago. So you can get a great shot with your cell phone. You can instantly see, you know, what that photo looks like as soon as you take it. So if you take a lot of photos, try some different positions, different angles. It doesn't cost you anything, whether whether you're taking one photo or 100, it doesn't cost you any more. So
that's right.
Take lots of photos, and you know, that way if some of them didn't turn out for whatever reason, you know, you should be able to, you take 100 photos, you should be able to get a few good ones
sure.
out of it. So,
sure.
You know, take the time to get plenty of photos. And as you're taking one, another thing I touched on is make sure as you're taking those photos, it's easy just to glance at your phone or the screen and say, yeah, that looks good. But really, zoom in. You know, once you've taken the photo, zoom in. Make sure everything is good, crisp, and focused, because it's hard to tell on a little cell phone screen.
Mm-hmm.
There's been plenty of times I've taken some photos and thought they looked great, and then you get them home on your actual computer and bring them up, and you thought, well, you know, they're not they're kind of fuzzy. They're not in good, crisp focus.
So, right.
Just, you know, check those photos out as you're taking them and make sure you're getting a few good ones.
Well, this article you can find at the Quality Deer Management Association website, along with a lot of other articles Brian's written and all. Brian, in closing here a second, we were trying to set this up, and you mentioned you were taking your daughter hunting this weekend, and I have two daughters, and they've hunted with me. I've got a 12-year-old, so like my shadow these days when it comes to hunting. What, I guess your kids had no chance like mine did. You know, when mom needs to do something and I'm going hunting, well, guess what? You're going hunting with me. What advice would you have for parents out there who are maybe contemplating, you know, maybe not this season, but next season, or maybe they're thinking, well, they're old enough to go this season. What would you say to those parents or guardians or moms or whatever, they're trying to get those kids involved in hunting?
Well, yeah, I do. I have two, and my daughter's actually 12 as well that wow. I'll be taking this weekend. And they were involved at an early age. And I kind of I left it on them to decide, you know, when they wanted to start getting involved. You know, I never really pushed them into it. I didn't want to be, you know, that parent that pushes their kids into right. all the sports or to do what I do. Of course, I certainly hope they would pick up hunting and enjoy it. But, you know, I left it on them to decide when they wanted to get involved. And fortunately, they took an interest at an early age. But I think it's important to keep them involved. One, you got to keep it fun for them,
okay.
Especially the younger kids. You know, their attention span's about 30 seconds, so you can't drag them out to the woods and expect them to sit perfectly still and quiet for 4 or 5 hours at a time.
Right.
So I would, early on, you know, I would take a pop-up blind and we would sit in that. I'd let them pack, you know, whatever coloring books or their Game Boy or whatever the case may be, so they wouldn't, you know, just completely get bored out of their
right.
mind. And, you know, just try to keep it fun for them. And, you know, when they were ready to go, we would go, whether or not
right.
I was ready myself or not. So I think that's important. It's important to make sure they're outfitted properly. You know, make sure once you start taking them hunting, you know, you want their equipment, whether it's a gun or bow, to fit them properly. You know, you don't want your 8-year-old kid out there with a 300 Win Mag, you know, tearing their shoulder off
right.
when they pull the trigger and scaring them to death.
Right.
You know, you want them properly outfitted clothing wise. You know, they're not gonna, if they get out there every time and freeze to death, they're not gonna want to go back. So, you know, it's just important to, like I said, to make it fun, keep them comfortable. Don't, you know, push them, let them learn and go at their own pace. And just, you know, I try to provide them every opportunity I can. You know, a lot of times that means sacrificing,
sure.
you know, my own time in the stand. But, to me, there's nothing like, you know, seeing your kid, take their first deer or take a deer period.
Right.
And my son killed a doe here a couple weeks ago. And he's killed deer before, but every time, I mean, I know I was shaking more than he was when that doe walked out. it tears me up, but I love to see him involved and see him be successful.
Yeah, my 12-year-old, she's going for her first deer this year and had a couple of hunts and didn't see anything early in the season, and I was so proud of her because she had made the, I asked her, I said, okay, what are your parameters? What are you going to do? She said, well, I'm not going to shoot anything that's got yearlings with it and has to be 4 points or better. So one of the last evening hunts we were on, I knew there were some deer in this field. We kind of stalked down the edge downwind, which was a good object lesson in itself. You know, here's how you get, you know, if you want to move in on a deer, here's how you do it. It's a perfect setup. Got her to about 50 yards of a deer standing in, just facing away from us in the edge of the woods. And she had the gun out ready to go. And as that deer turns broadside to her, I saw two little ones on the other side. And I said, Taylor, little ones. And I want you to know, she put the gun down. She goes, that was really cool, Daddy. So it works. And you're right. When you have that kind of reaction from your kids, it doesn't matter if you're carrying a gun or not, because at that point, it's all about them.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And that brings up a good point. Don't miss those teaching opportunities. There's so many while you're out there, even if you're not seeing deer. You know, there's just a lot of things you can kind of point out and talk to them about nature and conservation itself. You know, you got their undivided attention
right.
when you're out there in the woods. So, you know, take advantage of it. Those, some of the, you know, best conversations I've had with my kids have been, you know, in the blind or in the deer stand. So.
Yep. You're right about that. Totally right. Well, Brian, I appreciate you coming on and giving me a few minutes of your time today. Like I said, folks, you can find more of Brian's articles and learn more about QDMA at the QDMA website and the magazine. And it's another one of those organizations, if you're conservation-minded, might be something you want to look at joining. Brian, I look forward to having you back on the show again someday.
All right. Thank you, Roger.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon. And a double shot of Huey Lewis. Two for Tuesday, two for Saturday, who knows? Anyway, hope you enjoyed, you know, and there's always something you can take away from a segment like that with Brian, and I appreciate him doing that. You know, take better pictures. And that's it, almost it, for another Saturday. Like I said, I've got to go home and console some women with the Charleston Southern loss today. Too bad. I guess Clemson's playing, and it's beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful evening. Don't forget, time changes, which means I'm pretty much done hunting mornings. Don't get up that early anymore. But, you know, it's with the holidays coming up, with the holidays coming up, weather like it is, it could be time to start about think about making a new tradition. You know, holidays are the good time to do them because everybody's pretty much around and all. And this year, I think I'm going to start one that I haven't had an opportunity to do yet on Thanksgiving morning. So we'll see how that works out. But try to find something to do outside of the holidays. Everybody's going to be there. Holidays, fun time with family. Find something new to start this year. Doesn't matter how old you are. Start something new. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. And like Brian says, try to take a better picture with a camera you didn't forget. I'll see you back here next week on Woods and Water, South Carolina.